We killed trout in the Pinkle Burn. Newton Stewart, the place to rob and run. Was that picture house to blame? Where Elvis sang his latest flame? Or was it the Kirk or Penningham School? Yeah, but now I'm the man, I'm no fool. There's one thing I want to say before I go.
There you go, voice of Bill Drummond, I Believe in Rock and Roll. This is Martin Hanlon, Ray McCoy Radio Show, KX935 FM, Laguna Beach. And today I've got a friend in, Ben, hey, say hi.
Hey, there you go. Thanks for having me.
You're all right. You can start off shy, but you can't be shy the whole way through.
We'll warm it up a little bit.
All right, good. So Ben's going to choose a lot of the songs in this, but I'm going to start with a couple at the front. So this is a gentle storm, and our song is Gentle Storm, but there's a little message before it that you'll know. And the whole thing about this is life's for living, so why don't you get out of your own way?
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Barry.
I'll take it. Then what?
Well, then you could swallow it, and it'd all dissolve, see? And the moonbeams that shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair. Am I talking too much?
And so now I'd like to say, people can change anything they want to.
I will fly swift and true straight to you like an arrow. Just to to be near you, where you lie,
There you go, Elbow, Guy Garvey. The message is in the song. So, Ben, you're going to pick songs going forward. First song you're going to play, Strange Religion.
Yeah. So this song, shout out to an upcoming birthday of the late Anthony Bourdain. He used this song, I believe, in the Seattle episode.
Right.
And I think it's a shout out to him from me personally, although I've never met him in my life.
Yeah.
Somebody who... You know, as a cook, as a professional cook for a long time, he's one of the people who wrote and talked about and really gave credit to the people doing the dirty work.
Yeah.
You know, not the chefs you see on TV,
yeah,
but the immigrants and the, just the burnouts and, you know, all the people on the underside. So
I'm trying to remember. I think it was a Joe Rogan podcast and the two of them were talking and he was talking exactly about that. And he did this great bit where he talked about the brunch shift.
Oh, yeah.
The killer of anyone.
The killer of souls.
And he said he was just really good at it, but then he realized he was just like, you know, just burning himself out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, wow. I don't really know what to say more about that because, you know, he was just, I just thought he was absolutely fascinating the way that he approached everything in the, and also spiritually how he handled a lot of stuff to end up the way that ended up was very much a surprise of someone that you're looking at and thinking, I really like them, they're really together and they really kind of inspire me, and then he takes his own life. And that was a
there's no telling as to, you know, as to what we know about why he made the decision that he made. And there's reasons for everything, and you know, that's between him and himself.
But I
you know, we just kind of look back at what he did, what he offered, and, you know, just be grateful for that.
Yeah. So we're getting to the song, and the song is by Mark Langham. How do you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Lanigan. Is it Lanigan?
Yeah, I believe so. Now we're going to screw it up because we're nervous.
No, because there was a guy who played football with me at school called Tommy Lanigan, and I wanted to know if that was the same. That's the same pronunciation. Yeah, and I was looking, because I knew the song, and then I looked into him, and he had done a collaboration with Isabel Campbell, who is the lead, one of the leads because there's a few lead singers in Belle and Sebastian.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a whole record with her, Glasgow girl.
Yeah.
Do you know?
It all comes back to Glasgow.
Yeah, it always does.
It really does.
It does. That's just the way it is. Actually, I'm
Scottish.
Yeah, I'll stop talking nonsense and we'll play the song Stranger Legend. Legend. Say the name.
Mark Lanigan. Just sit back and enjoy and listen.
Can you stay here next to me? We'll just keep driving. Because of you, I see a light. It's a century, 73 like you. Some strange religion. I get my hands on some money, mama, and a shot at night. Stared down the past and just got my no easy ride. She's been the kind who would take it in stride. Some jacket diamonds kicked her heart around. Did they know they were walking on holy ground? I was calling it a day so many times.
Mark Lanigan got it right.
Yeah.
And the song Strange Religion. Hey, we're just talking there of Mike about, you know, the song being everything and him recognising that his voice is the important part of that. And we're saying that a lot of people don't realise that.
Mm.
But he's the way the voice sits in that track and the way that all the music is there to enhance what he's saying.
Yeah, you know, really, in listening to that track, and it's really... it's all about simplicity and subtlety and not a lot of movement.
And also the connection.
Yeah. Well, it makes way for that connection. You know, it's not so much a production. It's not so much an orchestration.
Yeah.
Although it's intentional.
Yeah.
It allows you the time. It's kind of like sit still long enough to make the connection.
And it's the confidence you can tell. I mean, I think he sounds, you know, you can't put something across like that if you're not confident about who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't get to that.
Well, that's a long time, typically a long time purchase.
Yes.
It takes a lot of down, you know, it takes a down payment and several installments before it's yours and in your pocket, you know.
Just let you know that Ben's a lot younger than me, taller and more handsome than I am. So, yeah,
isn't saying much on any of those accounts because you say it about yourself that you're really old and really ugly, which is neither is true.
Well, I'm just really old. Then you get that whole understanding that comes really late in life where you get the patience and stuff and you're like, why didn't I get this earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't I understand? I mean, relationships would be so much better. Patience really helps relationships, as I'm finding out. But then when I hear that voice, to me, that's just like, all right, I don't know how it is for you, but when you hear someone singing like that and playing like that, I'm like, okay, I should listen to this. Because it's kind of like demanding my attention for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, we waffle on.
Yeah.
And we go into, Valerie June.
Valerie June, yeah.
And Astral Plane.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard this before. Really like the voice.
Oh, it's fantastic. It has almost a, I don't know why it's so comforting to me and soothing, because it has like a quality to that that is almost penetrating.
Yeah. So how did you come across that?
The radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I think she had a new release either last year or 2 years ago, and then it kind of made its way around, and then read into her a little bit. But you know, talk about putting time in, you know, she's been out there for quite a while and just doing the work and, you know, kind of, you know, they talk about, I don't know, I'm going to say it's in Japanese, reference, but you kind of cooking it down,
right?
Oh, you're cooking it down over your life,
right?
Which kind of relates to
it, you get know, to the
what
essence.
We're talking about to get to the essence, to get to where it's good.
Yeah,
but that's the time process.
Oh, I hadn't heard of her. Then I looked at it and I realized by reading up that she does really, really well in the UK. And I'd never, but then maybe it's been since I've been over here. But just like I looking at all the shows that she was playing and the radio shows that she'd been interviewed on and the people who are really like. You know, push her, and it's all like top notch in the UK, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, so this is Astral Plane by Valerie June.
Is there a light you have inside you can't touch? A looking glass can only show you so much. Follow the signs, slowly but steady. Don't rush. The day will come when you're ready. Just trust. Dancing on the so clear. Is there a way for you to shine out fear? From other worlds, but you can't say what keeps you. Dreaming a dream.
outside you can touch.
What a voice. Yeah. We were saying a country tinge to it. Some people don't like, I really like that tinge to it. I love that warble on the voice. Now, jumping back into the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, in case you missed it, Ben's a cook.
Yep. Half
eggs,
the time.
Eggs and sausages.
Yeah.
Or eggs and sausage, not sausages, just singular.
Yeah, this actually, this album, it was funny. The song in this album will always take me back to Kansas City, Thomas Restaurant, West 39th Street, right off the state line. And usually by that time, you know, closing the kitchen down at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
At least had at least four or five beers in me at that time, maybe a couple of wines. And, you know, because that's what it was back then. And then I found this CD.
Right.
And like somebody had left it behind in the kitchen. We had a little, you know, like CD player or whatever, and pop it in. So I was literally mopping the floors, drinking a beer to this, to Tom Waits. And Tom Waits telling the story, the gritty story.
Yeah.
Like very direct.
Yeah.
Whimsical, funny.
Yeah.
But still direct and dark, you know? Yeah. And I think that at that time, and then the literal connection of being, you know, eggs and sausage, it was perfect.
So here's a question on a Tom Waits thing.
Mm.
I'm kind of torn.
Why?
I think it's vaudeville. It's
sure.
Theatrical.
Yeah.
Because he's a character.
Oh yeah, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but a lot of people like, oh, Tom Waits. He's like, and I'm like, no, he's playing a character.
Yeah, which it's a great character.
Yeah, and then I went to see it live. I remember seeing it in Scotland. I went to Bobby Cannon and Blue Nile. Took me along. We went to see him in Edinburgh, the Playhouse, and it was the hot ticket. And I kind of left after eight songs.
Because you were...
And I don't know. It just was just like... I don't know.
What were you expecting? And this is what you got.
I don't know. And I don't know if I was just too dumb to realize it was so good. But I was just like...
Yeah.
This is a bit of an act. And it was like...
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And so that, whereas I don't think what we just listened to and the past two songs, Strange Religion and Astral Plane were. You know, it's like that was real people doing real... I could be wrong doing real things, but then when I see Tom Waits, I was always like, I'm not sure. But at the same time, I absolutely get it, and I really quite admire the production and the commitment to it. But I don't think I ever really stepped over the line where like, oh, Tom Waits, I really love him.
Well, I think that the act level is there, and the vaudevillian characteristic to the presentation and the music. Is an act.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it resonates, or there's an underlying truth to it, you know, where it's like he's writing a fiction story.
Yeah.
You know, it like you don't want to look at, oh, the Brothers Karamazov, but it wasn't true, you know.
Yeah, well, it's just,
but
realizing.
There's like, there's the value and there's the...
I'm talking to you about this as, and I'm the man who loves David Bowie. Okay, moving on.
Let's talk about that.
That sums it up. Tom Waits, eggs and sausage.
Tom Waits, not enough makeup, man.
Yeah.
Nighthawks at the diner, Emma's 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around a coffee in the night. All the gypsy hacks and the insomniacs, now the paper's been read. Now the waitress said, eggs and sausage and a side of toast, a coffee and a roll, hash browns were easy, chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. What kind of pie? It's a graveyard charade, it's a late shit masquerade. And it's two for a quarter, dime for a dance. Woolworth rhinestone, diamond earrings, and a sideways glance. Now the register rings. sing. Eggs and sausage, cider toast, coffee and a roll, hash browns over easy, chili in a bowl, burgers and fries, what kind of pie? Offers no direction. It's a cold caffeine in a nicotine cloud. As the touch of your fingers lingers burning in my memory, I pen 86th from your scheme. Now I'm in a melodramatic nocturnal scene. Now I'm a refugee from a disconcerted affair. Now the lead pipe morning falls. Now the waitress calls. Eggs and sausage. Now a cider toast. A coffee and a roll. Hash browns over easy. Chili. With burgers and fries, now what kind of pie? Alamo, if you will. Just come in, I join the crowd. Had some time to kill. See, I just come in to join the crowd. Had some time to kill. Just come in, I join the crowd. Cause I had some time.
Thank you. So this is Martin Hanlon, Real McCoy Radio Show, KX935 FM, Laguna Beach. Got Ben in. Special guest, Ben Wallenbeck, yep. Is that right? How do you say it?
Wallenbeck, yeah, Wallenbeck.
So where's that name come from? It sounds Swedish or something like that.
We're not totally sure. But we think that, you know, one of the stories that we read was it's a combination of the Wallen and Beck tribes. It'd be Swedish, I believe, Wallen. And then the Becks being the Germans.
Oh, yeah.
And so the story I like to tell is like most good stories, they're not specifically true.
Yeah.
They don't have a historical truth to them in the modern sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're the peacemakers.
You know what's wonderful about that? When you get older, I tell stories and I'm not sure if they're true and they're about me.
Yeah, well.
Things that happen to me.
Yeah.
And I tell them and then I'm like, after I finish telling someone, I'm like, I'm not sure if I told that right. I don't know if that's exactly how it happened.
Well, it's more of a parable at that stage.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the better way to go around it because, you know, history in and of itself and like the...
Yeah, I guess.
To be an accurate sense, it's like, how accurate can it be?
Yeah, and also, really, there's usually some sort of like... moral or something in
there's an overriding truth to it, a greater truth, and that's really the truth that you speak, Martin.
Yeah, well, I hopefully yeah, my mom would be ashamed of me if I wasn't telling the truth. She'd sum it up like we used to do the shows and I was playing in the band and my family came from the Gorbals and you know, but when I was born we moved to Castlemore, which was like further south in Glasgow, but Gorbals isn't a notorious place in Glasgow. Real rough change that it's not like that anymore, but at the time it was. And so there's like, oh, I come from the Gorbals. And so when we played live, she came and see us once and Jimmy the singer would go on, I'd, you know, introduce the band, you know, and he'd go on, Martin from the Gorbals, Martin. And my mum was like, you're not from the Gorbals. And I was like, so it was like, you know, I thought she'd been in the show and I'm being a bit of a rock star or whatever
it
was.
Yeah.
And then your mum's like, you know, you're not from the Gorbals, you shouldn't be saying that. And I'm like, well, you know, we're family. She goes, yeah, but you're not. You were, and that was the last one
of six. Just holding you accountable.
Yeah, that was the last one of six. She was like, yeah, no, we moved to Castlemoke. I was like, yeah, I know.
It doesn't have the same kind of ring when you're on stage,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it doesn't, just Castlemoke doesn't just sound that.
There's Martin from a comfortable part of town.
Yeah. Cool. And then we had to move from there because it came, very quickly became a very uncomfortable part of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So you had some people follow you or what happened?
Yeah, it was just, it was the biggest, they made this biggest housing estate in Europe. Mm. And the Gorbals was like really, really, we had lived in tenements. It was really like, oh, you know, there's a whole, what is that? 7 points, 5 points in New York, the whole Gangs of New York thing. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big stream.
But 40 years ago?
But really, like, well, yeah, let's say 60.
Just trying to help you.
And anyway, we moved from there and they built this thing, but they forgot to just put amenities in it, and then it just became, you know, then the whole gang thing happened, and I was about 8 or 9, and I was like, all right, we're out of here. I didn't know why, and then as I got older, I realised why she moved us.
When was the last time you were back on that street?
Oh, the last time I was back on that street was, God, maybe like, Jesus, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I took my niece and nephew because they were staying. I went up to my sister's house, who had done quite well, and they were like complaining or something. Like, and I was like, in the car, I'm going to show you something. And I drive to the street to go, this is where your mum grew up, and this is where I grew up. And as I pull into the street, this was like, you know, this was a new build and stuff in the, I guess, the beginning of the 60s. And I pull into the street, and as I pull into the street, they've just demolished the whole lot. And the building that I lived in is just, they've just burned the last bits of it. You know, they've knocked it all down. They're not burning the buildings down, but the building's down, and there's like, there's wood and stuff, and it's like the burning stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow, this is where I used to live. Yeah. And they're like, all right, okay, can we go home now?
Yeah. Lesson learned.
So you were you're mopping the floors, and you were listening to Tom Waits, and then you said you started playing this song.
Yeah, yeah, afterwards. Yeah. So then this is the song when you're sitting at the bar, you know, when you finally got off, and it's time to turn it up. And
yeah.
Give me a drink, you know?
Move on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody's hand. I'm gonna need someone to hold me down. I'm gonna need someone to care. I'm gonna rise and shake my body. I'll start pulling out my hair. I'm gonna cover myself with the ashes of you, and nobody's gonna give a damn. Son of a bitch! Somebody give me a goddamn drink. Son of a bitch! Give me a drink. One more night. It's gonna fit me. Son of a bitch! If I can't get clean, I'm gonna drink my life away. Yeah, yeah. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is aching, hands are shaking.
Mugs are crawling all over me. Son of a bitch.
So that was a get up and get out work song.
Yeah. Now it starts the real work, kind of the...
Yeah. So I'm going to play something. So it's... I just talked to you there about my good friend James Kerr from... I always call him James Kerr from some of mine. I always think that's polite. Everyone calls him Jim. I seem to call him James.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's about. And also...
Are you typically so polite to him? Or only when you're... only when you're introducing...
Yeah, actually I am. You know? And he always said that to me. You're always polite about his name. It's just because everybody in Glasgow, like here you'll say dude, hey dude, or someone like, and if you're from Glasgow, say hey Jimmy, everybody's Jimmy.
Oh yeah.
It's a thing, it's just a, they say.
So his name is Dude.
Yeah, his name is Dude. So, and then also the guy in Silencers with me, the lead singer, was Jimmy O'Neill. So, and then when I first met him, I was like, hey James, because I thought just people were calling him Jimmy because he's from Glasgow, but he actually like being called Jimmy. So I called Jim, James Kerr.
So you got the two Jimmys, James and Jim.
James and Jim, he's Jimmy. And then in my house, there was, so my dad was William Hanlon, my brother was William Hanlon, and my brother-in-law was William McTaggart. So my dad became Bill.
William McTiger?
McTaggart.
Oh, McTaggart.
McTaggart. McTaggart would have been better
McTaggart,
name.
McTaggart, yeah, that would have been great.
So like, so my dad became Bill Hanlon. My brother became Wally Hanlon. And my brother-in-law became Taggy. So even though they're all Williams. Anyway, back to that. So this is for Jimmy Kerr. Hope he's doing well. Missing him, and I'll see him soon. And also to Jim, hope you're all right, and I'll see you. But this is all, I play this every week because I try to say why I play this, and I can never say it properly, so I just let Joe Strummer say it.
And so now I'd like to say, people can change anything they want to, and that means everything in the world. People are running about following their little tracks. I am one of them. But we've all got to stop just following our own little mouse trail. People can do anything. This is something that I'm beginning to learn. People are out there doing bad things to each other. It's because they've been dehumanized. It's time to take the humanity back into the center of the ring. And follow that for a time. Greed, it ain't going anywhere. They should have that in a big billboard across Times Square. Without people, you're nothing. That's my spiel.
MK Simple Minds. It did sound like Glasgow to me, that song. Yeah, there's all this angst and, you know, rain. And, you know, when you have to do stuff. And it's weird we're talking about that, you know. So Jim at school, obviously, I've said this before, but very quiet, very, very, really shy. And then when he got into the band, it kind of changed. And then and went into the punk band, Johnny Self-Abusers. And then there's this whole thing I was talking to you about, telling stories, and I don't know if they're true, but I remember being interviewed about, God, not long ago, 5 years ago, for a documentary in Simple Minds, and they were asking me about Simple Minds coming about. I remember being at this dancing on a Friday night we used to go to, it was called Minsky's, and we were there, you know, punk is happening and stuff. And then, you know, we were at Donna Summer, mm-hmm. Georgia Moroder and stuff. And Jim comes up to me and says, yeah, yeah, you know, punk is dead and got this new band. And I'm like, all right, have you? He's like, yeah. And I said, so, yeah, what are they called? He's like, they're called Simple Minds. I'm like, okay, who's in it? And he's like, I haven't decided yet. And then within like 6 months, like done, dusted, deal done, on TV, happening.
That quick.
Yeah, totally determined. And of course the song, the title comes from Gene Genie, So Simple Minded. And that's where it goes. But, and then the thing for me, because we were all like kicking around in these punk bands, and then Jim goes and does it, and then we were like, huh, if he can do it.
Yeah, maybe there's something in it for us.
And so of course, like, you use that as a negative, like, because he can, how can he do it? But he did, and then, you know, I put my bands together, but 10 years later, I kind of got it, kind of bit right. Mm. And I went to him, and he was like, yeah, what can I do? And he just like took my band really, and got us in the same management company. And then, you know, first tour was with his wife at the time, Chrissy Hind. Mm-hmm. And then we toured with it. I mean, he just was like, never once was like, hey, you know, who do you think you are? Or anything like, it was like, come on, come along. What do you need?
Yeah, I mean, do you think that stems from the, you know, the small, I mean, music communities in and of themselves, even in larger places, are fairly small. But even in maybe a smaller place that I would imagine is like this neighborhood in the city of, Glasgow, you know.
I think, yeah.
Come up, because the idea was what? I mean, the goal was to
get out of there.
To get out. Yeah. Come with me.
Yeah, it was. It really was. But at the same time, he has this thing that he says, yeah, you got to go back to Glasgow. Mm. Maybe even just for 2 or 3 days so you remember who you are and then you can leave again.
Yeah.
But he's spending a lot of time here at the moment with his family, with his father. But he says it makes him. And I think that's very, very true. I mean, our families were close and, you know, we always have. Both of us were like mummy's boys, however you want to say that. Scottish mummy's boys are the worst. Because, I mean, it's like you have the Catholic guilt and then your mum's like, do the right thing.
It's a double down.
Yeah, double. And you're like, yeah, what? She goes, just do the right thing. And you're like, what does that mean? And it's like,
it exists, but we don't know what it is.
And it's just like, so everything
impossible.
Everything, do it. Yeah, just do the right. So every time you come up to something that was like a, you know, a decision you make, you're like, I'll do the right thing. And you're like, so it was just a plant. It's just planted in there, you know. But I mean, I'm just more or less saying he's always been encouraging to everything I ever tried to do. Still is, you know. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I mean, be very lucky with that. Anyway. Moving on.
Yeah, what are we listening to?
You're going to Keep It Between the Lines. You want to do your thing on it? What's the deal with this?
I don't have too much to say. I just kind of like it. And I think it kind of brings you back, you know, from I guess 2 songs ago.
Yeah.
You know, son of a bitch, just getting trashed. And there's something in this that's like a little bit of there's an understated cautionary, or maybe there's an underlining cautionary tale.
And what's the underlining cautionary tale?
Well, I mean, in this song, it seems to be he's speaking from a certain experience, or just, you know, kind of like keep it between the lines,
right?
You know, and you go astray, and that's all necessary to our personal narratives. And anybody who knows me has, you know, for a period of time, has seen me go outside the lines.
So this is again because all the way through, there's always been a slight leaning towards the country.
Yeah,
in all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's the most, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what does that come from for you?
You know, I don't know. I think it's maybe a connection with the fact that it's typically American.
Right.
Which is a weird kind of globulous kind of concept to put together, yeah, if you really look at the bigger picture.
Right.
But I think there's a directness and there's a kind of a blue collar nature. You know, right, growing up in Niagara Falls, New York, it was,
yeah,
you know, it's industrial, you know, and it's hardworking. It's, you know, into Buffalo, it's a GM town, you know, UAW.
It's weird because you mentioned that, and then really, my boss when I was at Hansen's ZZ Top's company was Richard Perner, a good friend of mine. He's from there.
Yeah.
And then Dennis, who you know, Dennis Isaac comes in.
Yeah.
Friend, he's from the same area. He's from Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's something in there. That yeah. I think there's the blue collar nature that's, I don't know, there's something that I identify with. And then, you know, there's a 5 or 6 years spent in Kansas City. There's definitely a connection to something other than there. But I don't know. Maybe it's the pacing. Maybe it's just the energy behind it. But
yeah.
It just clicks, you know.
Yeah, there's a, it's, yeah.
It's just folk. It's just folk anywhere.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
And I think that is really the nature of it, whether it's you're listening to, you know, Atahualpa Yupanqui is like this,
yeah,
this old folk Argentinian.
Right.
And it's just not even understanding the lyrics completely, but there's a connection there. There's a straightforward and stripped down nature to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's emotional.
So how do you say his name? Sturgo? How do you say
it? Sturgill Simpson. Yeah.
Sturgill?
Yeah.
Sturgill Simpson.
This fantastic.
Keep it between the lines. Keep the engine clean. Keep your